Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today by question, is it time for civil disobedience? We're trying to set the stage to answer that question. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. Would love to hear from you. Do you believe that Christians should be involved in civil disobedience? Let me give you a little hint. Most Christians think that it is honorable and right, okay, to get on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic, a murder clinic, and demonstrate, try to communicate with those going in to try to prevent babies in the womb from being murdered inside the abortion clinics. That's civil disobedience. That's a little small smattering of that civil disobedience that we see now being set up and taking place across America. And it's not necessarily just by Christians, and I'm saying that, but Christians are sitting back, allowing the churches to be closed and saying that we need to just simply obey Jesus and not do anything about it, burying our head in the sand. Ladies and gentlemen, our lives as Christians, individuals, we can't segregate and divide and say, this is my government life and this is my Christian life, this is my business life, et cetera, et cetera. It's all or none. It is a total part of us. When you get to the scripture, you go from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, and you find God created the home, he created government, he created the church, and he did so in that order. And there must be a harmonization of our respect and recognition and reverence for each of those areas. And it's not a matter of segmenting and segregating and saying we shouldn't. I'm looking at, and I'll continue the very large article, but I'll look at portions of it for the purpose of this broadcast. Title of it is Drunk on Power. I'd given the quote before the top of the hour news. Lori Lightfoot, and the mayor of Chicago, made a very, very, very frightening statement. When she makes a demand, she said she's not playing games. She says, I take my personal hygiene very seriously, and demanding that everything remain closed and shut down, even hair salons, but she thought it was her right and privilege as a superior class to go out and get her own hair done, but the other shops had to remain closed. This article says, speaking of salons, Dallas Judge Eric Moyer sentenced a salon owner, Shelley Luther, to 7 days in jail and $7,000 fine for daring to open her business so that she could feed her children. After Texas Governor, Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General, and Supreme Court intervened, Luther was freed from jail. There's another article, Ventura, California. Health Director Robert Levin announced his department would forcibly remove COVID-19 infected people from their own homes and put them in other kinds of housing that we have available. If that couldn't sufficiently isolate them from their families and their home under fire, he later said that he didn't really mean what he was saying. But ladies and gentlemen, he did, and that was an open threat. And then Governor Gretchen Whitmer, after ordering that all public and private gatherings of any size are prohibited in her state, was confronted with angry demonstrators packed in the Capitol building to protest her extreme lockdown, which had already thrown over 1 million people out of work in her state. Whitmer responded defiantly by signing a new executive order, extending her radical lockdown yet for another month. And it goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen, giving the overview of what would be called a situation of being drunk on power. In fact, here's little blurbs that I will just simply read to you to set the stage for our next statement in relationship to taking the position of civil disobedience. This article says, new totalitarianism, how the pandemic crisis is producing a new crop of petty tyrants. Another portion, worldwide lockdown, likely the greatest mistake in history, according to Dennis Prager. Quote, it's out of control, Franklin Graham says. Government gone wild. Coronavirus doesn't override the Constitution, says John Stossel. The squad demands government control of private property during pandemic, which is proposed by AOC and others. Harvard law professor calls for total ban on homeschooling, insists it's dangerous for parents to educate their own kids. UN chief insist coronavirus recovery and address greenhouse gases and climate control and climate change changing. We have a rare and short window of opportunity to rebuild the whole world, said the chief of the UN. Another one, 1-800-INFORM, a report on your neighbor for the authorities. It's the right thing to do. Another one says, our dress rehearsal for a police state, said Dennis Prager. Every crisis is an opportunity for expanding government, says Ben Shapiro. Our one certain victor in the pandemic war, big government, says Pat Buchanan. And I could go on and on and on. But the point being, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a serious condition, serious state in the United States of America, where these wannabe tyrants are in position by fiat issuing orders that the people, the citizens, we the people, are simply supposed to bow and say yes and to be reverent to government and not to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're witnessing a total collapse of our society as we know it, a total collapse of our economy, a total collapse of our religious free system and our religious liberties. We're watching the crumbling of the foundation of America. I don't know of any other way to put it, ladies and gentlemen, but I believe that's what we see taking place. And in Psalms 11 and verse 3, the scripture is very, very clear. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And there's an answer to that. The righteous can take a stand and say we're going to obey God rather than government. I believe multitudes of the white-jacketed professors and professionals of America today are advocating total lockdown until a vaccination is available. And Bill Gates, behind the scene of that, even suggests that America should stay shut down and locked down for the next 18 months. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats are interested in simply finding a way to continue the lockdown. I believe they've weaponized it so that they can attempt to undermine, tear down, and destroy the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America, and most especially to remove President Donald J. Trump from office. That's the end game. That's the ultimate goal of what we see taking place. But the question is, the challenge for us, is it time for civil disobedience in America? Is it time for civil disobedience? I believe I have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
The only way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I'm kind of wondering, how long will it take, what will it take for some people to realize that in some jurisdictions there is a battle, there is a war going on against Christianity and against capitalism? If some will say that's an absurd thought, well, what else can you call it when churches are singled out? You can go to the packed Walmarts, the packed Lowe's, the packed Home Depots, but you can't go to church. You can go to the packed liquor store, you can't go to church. You can go to the abortion clinic, but you can't go to church. What in the world would you call that if it's not a war on Christendom, if it's not a war on church, if it's not a war on religion? Now, we step all the way back to biblical times. Mordecai was targeted. Haman was after Mordecai. Daniel was targeted. They went after Daniel. In this generation, they went after Catherine Engelbrecht when she started that, True the Vote. If you're a conservative in this culture, there are folks in government that will use the power of their office to go after you. If you don't believe it, there is a list. There is a list. I mean, we could pick out 2012, 2010, 11, 12, the over 300 tea parties that were targeted by the IRS. I've had some people say to that, well, they had other people they went after too, other groups they went after too, and held back their 501c4 status. Oh, yeah, they had two. They had two. They probably had legitimate reasons. Otherwise, they wouldn't have withheld on those two. But two to over 300? Really? No, you could say, Greg, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, you know what? My conspiracy, if you're going to call it that, it has legs. It has facts to back it up. This is we're living in Crazyville, but right now, what my call is, wake up. America, wake up. Christians, wake up. Realize that Jesus said, if they hate you, know that they hated me first. So somehow or another, if you think they don't hate you as a believer, you're blind. You're blind. There's a war going on. Wake up to that fact. and be prepared to respond to it. Respond quickly. Respond to the way Christ would have you to respond to it. But by all means, respond to it.
Greg, one of the things that comes to mind when you make that statement is that so many Christians think that we need to just simply bow and bend and not in any way have any civil disobedience toward the government. But Dr. Fauci says that he believes that we need to have some type of vaccination or identification or immunity certificate. And when you go back in history and you find in the 40s, that's what was done, the late 30s and 40s, that's what was done with the Jewish people. They had to wear a yellow star on the sleeve or on the back to identify them. And eventually they were all carted off on the basis that the government says, we're doing this to protect you and take care of you. And they're all taken to the incineration rooms or the place where they were gassed and simply put to death by the millions. And yet Christians can't seem to see that there's a dark path if we continue to allow the government to push in that direction. But one of the things that I'm amazed by, they're talking about, we've got to have a vaccination. And on today's online news, Alan Dershowitz says, the state has a right to plunge a needle into your arm. End quote. Harvard Law School Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz claims in an interview that the government has a constitutional right under the 10th Amendment to forcibly vaccinate a citizen to curb the spread of any contagious disease. He said, this is his quote, let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business, he said, end quote. Now, that's a horrific statement coming from a so-called constitutionalist. He was being interviewed. And the interviewer in Jackson says in asking the question, he says, if the government decides you have to be vaccinated, you have to be vaccinated. Is that what you're saying? Dershowitz says, absolutely. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge the needle into your arm. The question is asked then by the interviewer, where is the Constitution? He was asked. Dershowitz clarified that if a person is threatened with a deadly disease that is not contagious, he can refuse the treatment. But if it's a deadly disease, he cannot refuse the vaccination. Now, I want to know where you find that in the Constitution and how we can say that as Christians, if that were to come about. And by the way, for our listeners, they need to understand that, yes, if they're fast-tracking a vaccination now, eventually what the government will do is demand and require by force of law that you be vaccinated for your own good and for the good of others.
I have to ask this question. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer, okay? I mean, I had all the, I guess, 10, 12, 14 shots, whatever, when I was a kid. I think they're up to like 30 or so shots now. It's, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I am an anti-force of government when it comes to your own body in that regard. Now, you know, the left will claim that you've got autonomy with your body and they could go and murder that unborn child. You know, that's another person's body, by the way. However, that same left is all for the force associated with vaccination. But I have to ask the question, if you have 90% of society vaccinated, 10% that say we're not interested, either religious reasons or no, we're just not interested. That 10% does not jeopardize the 90%. Think of how illogical the argument is. Are you telling me, folks, that an unvaccinated person jeopardizes a vaccinated person? And for those same people that somehow or another they've got a twisted view of that, they think that somehow or another there is a problem. You go, those same folks, at least the left, they're for wide open borders. They're for folks coming here with no vaccinations in whatever state of health and flooding our health care systems and, quite frankly, our workplaces and, quite frankly, our voter rolls and, quite frankly, our roads and highways. There's the illogic, the hypocrisy, and the hyperbole that's going on simultaneously in this culture where nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing makes sense. You know, who's the author of confusion? I've got that question for you, Dr. Youngblood. Who's the author of confusion? Where does this
Satan
come from?
Is the author of confusion. We find that today. In fact, I've said so often in the recent months, we're watching the fomenting of demons and demonic activity that's being played out through the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, with the idea that somehow we can force control of all of the people and simply eviscerate our Bill of Rights. Greg, hang on there for a moment. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, you do, and I want to make some that are really heartfelt. But first of all, Dershowitz is a Democrat. That's all you need to say.
That's right.
He has supported the president, but it is not possible to be fully rational or a decent citizen and be a Democrat. Okay, that's out of the way. Number two, you talked about Lori Lightfoot. You mentioned who she was the other day, the mayor of Chicago. She lives in affluent opulence on the north side of Chicago, which is fairly wealthy. She lives with her lesbian female, and they're raising an adopted little girl. God save that little girl. She is the metaphor for what liberal Democrats are, particularly the assertive females in that group. And because they're infected with a witch spirit, female leadership is prevalent in the Democrat Party, and it's taking us off the tracks, as Isaiah 3:12 says, "Oh, my people, women rule over you, and your leaders lead you into chaos." That's my word. Okay, Lori Lightfoot, homosexual, liberal, lesbian, raising a little girl, saying to other people as she walks out of the hairdresser, "You must obey. I don't because I say so." She is absolutely epitomizing what George Orwell wrote about in The Animal Farm. And those were the pigs that ruled, right? So
right.
Let me just say that I'm not surprised she did that, because Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, is a lesbian pig. Okay, that's out of the way. You didn't like that, but that's okay.
That's all right.
I'm responsible for my words. Now, the third one is this. I'd like to read you a short paragraph from a book, and you'll like this one. I'm going to read you a short paragraph from another piece of literature written in 1959. It's about Florida, in fact, just a few miles south of us. It's a great book called, in fact, kids used to be required to read it in high school. That's where I read it for the first time. Written by Pat Frank, called Alas, Babylon. And this character, this banker named Edgar, is having a discussion, and he's contemplating war. And we all think of war as military action. But in 1980, Richard Nixon wrote a book called The Real War and said, "Folks, we've been at war for a long time. We just don't know what the nature of warfare is." So in that context, let me read this paragraph, and you're going to key into something, because you talked about it 2 days ago. This is the banker Edgar that is speaking. He says, "Edgar had never given much thought to all the talk about rockets and missiles and such. He always prided himself on keeping his feet firmly on the ground and examining the facts in a hard-headed, practical manner. And the facts, listen carefully, the facts, as he had publicly stated, were," this was in 1959, this is accurate, "were that Russia intended to beat the United States by scaring us into an inflationary, socialistic depression and not by tossing missiles at us." True statement. The real war has been fought on economic, political, social levels for a long time. And this nation is at war right now. We've been a nation has been at war for about a year, at least. And the Democrats, who are supporting our enemy, are doing it in one of two ways. Either they're doing it because they're just abjectly stupid and prideful, and think they're doing something good by pushing for socialism. I don't think that's what it is. Or they are willfully complicit with some not yet politically defined, but I think it is China, North Korea, and Iran, just for starters, working in concert with Satan himself. These people have, I think, co-opted with certain influential Democrats and have said, "You do your work over there setting up socialism, and if it's you're not able to handle it, if you're not able to do it, or you don't get far enough, we'll finish it for you militarily." Having said that, we are at a point of great national distress right now, and we're moving toward a polarization. We're already polarized, but we're moving toward a dangerous polarization that is being intentionally manipulated. And I stand with you. Well, we need to stand up and push back against the darkness. So if anybody create the revolutionary army again, I might be right there with them. But that's not the point. The point is this. We face an election that is now the most critical election in history. And I just read an article, and I'll show you what it was, that said the international community cannot afford for Donald Trump to be reelected. They cannot afford. They cannot afford Donald Trump to be reelected because it will set back the impressive gains they've made in recent years, particularly under Obama. It will set them back in their desire to destroy America, just that old paragraph that I read about 1959. It's going to set them back so far that once America gets into its great political turmoil immediately before the election, we can expect, I believe, some military action against this country because we don't have the national consensus. One of the great pillars of national power is national consensus, and Richard Nixon identified that in his book. We don't have a national consensus, and we have lost the values that preserved this country because people like Lori Lightfoot and the liberal feminist witches of the Democrat Party have sold a lie to those men who are no longer willing to have a backbone to stand up and push back.
Yes,
and I agree with Franklin Graham, who said on January the 25th, 2015, at First Baptist Church at 6:15 in the evening, he said, "America is done. It's over." That's a summary of what he said, but that's an accurate summary. And I believe that. America is now done. But there are still people that can hear the message and understand that a little window of opportunity that you mentioned a few minutes ago regarding the enemy is still open for us also. We can preach the gospel in season and out of season. And we can help those who are still on the fence understand that the day is very evil, and you better understand that if you don't make the right choice, when the elevator goes up, and I think it's going to happen really soon, meaning the rapture, you're pretty much out of luck.
So, absolutely.
Folks, look up. Your redemption draws nigh.
Absolutely.
Times are evil, and it's festering in the Democrat Party right now.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight and for your comments. Greg, we've got another caller on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Very interesting discussion. Well, you know, economics does mean self-rule, and it does rule everything else. And also, what about the preamble to the Constitution? Maybe Dershowitz, probably isn't, but maybe he is. So one of the tenets is to ensure domestic tranquility, and figuring if there's a communicable disease, the domestic tranquility would be upset. Now, of course, there's politically protected diseases, too, like AIDS. How about some of your comments, gentlemen, on that?
Very good question and insight and question. Greg, what do you say to that statement?
Today, freedom is being replaced with force. And, domestic tranquility is the order of the day, do we have tranquility? If we force millions people to unwillfully, unwantedly be injected with an untested, unproven vaccine that may be harmful. By the way, for anybody that assumes that all vaccines are great and wonderful and there are no harm to be done there, understand that we have a division of the federal government that pays vaccination injury claims. We would not have that office. We would not have that fund with many, many, many billions of dollars sitting in it being out on an annualized basis. That would not exist if all vaccinations were safe and secure and efficacious. Nonetheless, again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm not interested. I'm not interested in bowing. I'm not interested in bending. I've not had a flu vaccine in my entire life. Last December, I got the flu for the first time. It was horrific. I'm kind of looking back on it, wondering, did I have the Wuhan flu? But I'm not interested. Having gone through that, I'm not interested. I'm just a young 50 years old. But I think that is my right to say no. Not interested.
Greg, let me jump in for just a moment and add a little footnote to that. Bill Gates has just admitted that with a vaccine for the coronavirus, it could in fact kill as many as 700,000 people. 700,000 people. It could kill that number of people. And yet we're talking about now the possibility of it being forced upon us. One of the things that's the bottom line, and I think that we need to focus on the last few minutes, the bottom line is, should we as Christians take a stand? I read the book of Exodus, and I find the midwives, they were told to kill the male babies, and they refused to do so. They disobeyed the government. We can go back to Rosa Parks in the days of the early 60s, and Rosa Parks says, I'm not going to sit on the back of the bus. I'm going to sit on the front of the bus. And because she did civil disobedience, she refused to obey the law, then she was vindicated, and now anybody of any race can sit any place on a bus or any transportation they want to. Martin Luther King refused to be treated as a second-class citizen, and as a result of that, there was the civil rights movement that was birthed, and it was moved down the road, if you call it that. I'm looking at an article, Greg, that says, the Church of the Brethren Annual Conference, Official Documents, and the title of the document is Obedience to God and Civil Disobedience. Obedience to God and Civil Disobedience. And it deals with that question in relationship to what should we do as Christians. And time won't suffice to go into the total document, but the bottom line is, Peter, for example, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, says, we ought to obey God rather than man. What was he doing? They were saying, you can't get on the street corner and preach. He was preaching, so we're going to obey God rather than man. Daniel, in the 6th chapter of Daniel, prayed. The king had issued an order, said, you can't pray to any god or any person other than the king for 30 days. Did Daniel obey that? No. He disobeyed that by purposely, with his windows being open, let everybody see that he was going to pray to God. And yep, he was thrown in the den of lions, and as I use the term, he had a lion for his pillow and a lion for his footstool because God protected him because of his obedience. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left. Would you take that minute and a half and tell our listeners why we should, as Christians, absolutely be involved in civil disobedience if it is something that absolutely is against the Word of God and is going to destroy the morals, the ethics, and the values and the Christian foundation of our nation?
We are to meet together as believers. We're not to forsake the assembling, as that Hebrews text says. The reality is, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you should not bow when the law is unjust, when the law is ungodly. Looking all the way back to our founding as a nation, Christians, many of our founders were Christians. They were believers, and they laid out the claims of tyranny against King George, and they said, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. So stand up, believers. We are not second-class citizens. Stand up and be counted.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this broadcast. We're looking forward to next time as we face the issues.
7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.